Okay.
All right, here comes our real podcast.
Oh, yeah. Pump it up.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Ready?
Yes.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Miss.
What up?
Oh, you know, living the dream. Not my dream, someone else's, but it's a dream.
This is my dream. It'd be a nightmare.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe somebody hexed you. Are you hexed? Have you found a hex bag?
I'm going to go look at my house now.
I'm sorry. I know this episode deals with hex bags and obviously witches, but every time I hear hex bag, throw back to Scooby-Doo and
the Hex Girls.
And I can't help but think about the Hex Girls.
The Hex Girls. Those are such. Do you like my dinosaur, by the way?
I do like your dinosaur. It is Jurassic.
You don't like it, you'll get Jurassic kicked.
Ooh.
Those are some of my favorite episodes of Scooby-Doo that Aubrey and I watch are with the Hex Girls.
I love them, but every time I hear Hex, I'm like, Hex Girls?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, no.
That's not it.
But they're kind of witches, but they're not witches, but they're vampire witches.
Oh my goodness.
This has nothing to do with Scooby-Doo.
Yet.
I mean, we got like 10 more seasons. But it does eventually.
Stick with us for that long.
Oh my goodness.
It'll be worth it, I swear.
Well, welcome to Balls Supernatural Podcast with Lizzie and Missy. We're happy you're here. I was gonna say we're welcoming you here. That makes no sense. We're happy you're here.
If you're new, what up? If you're old, hey.
What up? Hey, go ahead.
Hey.
Is there any housekeeping we need to get out of the way?
I was gonna say Hunter Happy Hour, but we haven't picked a day yet. So
we haven't. It's February
February?
On Instagram Live.
Oh, we got one thing down. We'll
be announcing that by the end of the week.
Yes. So be on the lookout.
And
a cocktail.
A cocktail and a video of a how to make.
Oh, I'm so excited for this.
I'm going to do it. It's going to be horrible and I'm not graceful, but it's going to happen. So I'm probably going to do a simple cocktail or I'm going to practice a lot and I might be drunk. I make no promises.
If you guys missed the first
Honey Happy Hour.
Honey, that's a totally different thing.
That is a 100 acre woods and you can find them there.
If you missed the first Hunter Happy Hour, Liz has decided that she's going to make a video and show us how to make the cocktail that she created. I'm like, I don't even know.
Concocted.
Words. I think that's what I was going for.
Concocted.
Concoction.
Well, I mean, I feel like I have to figure out, once we find the date, what episode we're going to be doing so that I can figure out what our cocktail is.
Yeah. I can tell you some episodes.
I always Google search season 3 episode, but I never actually put Supernatural, so I just assume that my computer knows that I don't watch anything else in the world.
Does it though?
But I mean, and now it knows I watch Walker, so I'm terrified that it's gonna be like, here's Walker. I'm like, no, not yet.
Oh, if you guys haven't listened, we put out a mini-sode for a review on Walker that's called Balls, review of stuff that of other stuff Supernatural cast is on, Walker edition.
So our chances of getting Dream a Little Dream of Me, The Mystery Spot, or Justin Bellow. I don't think we'll make it to Ghost Facers by then. So those seem to be the three heavy hitters. So I'm going to come up with a cocktail for each.
Dream a Little Dream would come out on the 7th, Mystery Spot on the 14th, and then the other one on the...
The Mystery Spot is coming out on the day it aired.
What?
It aired February 14th, 2008. We have to do it!
Okay, that's it.
And it's for Valentine's Day, and it has Loki Trickster. Everything's going so well.
Not only is it a great episode, it's your honey bunny.
It is my honey bunny.
Valentine's Day. Done. What day do you want to do the... Do you want to do it on Thursday again, or do you want to do... I don't have a honey bunny, so I don't have Valentine's plans, so it's...
I'm going to be working at the haunted house.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Did you want to do it on the Thursday again, or do you want to let me know?
On the Thursday. Thursday is always working really well.
Thirsty Thursday would
Thirsty
be
Thursday.
The 11th, February 11th.
Yes, I feel like that's good. Because I'll make a cocktail that is kind of Valentine's Day inspired with a little mystery for the mystery spot. They can make it on Valentine's Day too.
I love it.
Look, I'm just multifaceted over here. Tallahassee. Sorry if you hear a thud or any other weird sound. My dog is just sitting on my lap because she's decided I'm a chair.
It's fine. Hi. Hello.
If we ever do lives, this is just...
So it's going to happen.
Yes, it's very Homeward Bound-esque. You don't see me, you just hear a voice, you assume it's the dog.
Of course. Okay. Well, that's...
All right. So we got that
checked
out
off
of
our list.
Way. All right. We also might have a sponsor and stuff.
Oh, maybe. We're also going to change podcast hosts, but that has nothing to do with you guys, so.
You forgot! Missy, no! Yeah, so guys, if you are feeling too lazy to type us in or go to your history because you've potentially saved us as a favorite.
I hope we pop up, like, Supernatural and Walker pop up on Liz's computer.
Go to sit in your chair. Go to sit in your chair, yes. Sorry, I was lifting my dog up again.
If you're not sitting down, please. Sit down.
Please sit down. Have a seat. Enjoy a cocktail or a hot chocolate and say, Alexa, play Balls, a Supernatural podcast, and we'll be there.
We're on Amazon Music.
We are.
I think it's Amazon Music and Audible now.
Ooh, Audible.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it yet. No.
I don't know what I did with my Alexa. I don't like to keep her plugged in.
She's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I've literally shut mine off, said something, and she'd be like, I didn't understand that. And I'm like, I wasn't talking to you.
You were unplugged.
What the heck? You're turned off.
Ah!
Rise of the AI.
Oh, shit.
I tested a theory, and I don't have Alexa, but I have Google.
Oh, hey, Google.
And Google played Balls, a Supernatural podcast.
No
when
way.
I asked it to.
Can you do it again?
Hold on, I'll get close. Missy wants to hear it. Okay, Google. Play Balls, a Supernatural podcast.
Okay, here's where you left off in Balls, a Supernatural podcast, 3.08. Have yourself a very supernatural Christmas.
Ah!
Podcasts.
Now if that kid had been taught Krampus.
Okay, Google. Shut up.
That's so amazing. One, it sounds way better in a British accent, because it's not Balls, it's Balls,
a Supernatural Balls. Podcast.
That is awesome.
It's like magic. But yeah, I think that's it. So if you made it this far, awesome job. High five. Gold star. This episode will come out on the same day it aired and will henceforth do the same for the rest of the season.
That is amazing.
So in this episode, we will be talking about season 3, episode 9, Malleus Maleficarum. And I have the pronunciation because.
Do we have to be British because Google was?
Well, most spells and names all stem from Latin. So I want to be like, I don't know. I feel like Latin had a tinge of accent on it. So I don't think they were like.
Potter in this biatch tonight.
Yeah, I don't think they were like Malleus Maleficarum. I think they were like Malleus Maleficarum.
You don't think that's how it worked?
No.
Maleficarum.
Channel your inner Snape. This aired January 31st, 2008, and takes place in Sturbridge, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Because, as with most things witchy, Massachusetts.
Well,
/ New England.
Duh. There were witches nowhere else except for in New England.
Oh, no, they were all over, as I'll get to, they were all over France and Europe and Germany.
No. It was only in New England in the 1600s. That's the only time.
Do I need to go back and talk about, where is it? What episode was that? Oh no. I have too many notes and not enough. Whatever. There was another one that just took place everywhere. New Hampshire.
Too many notes.
Too many notebooks and too many notes. Oh, no. Yeah, here. Here it is. Massachusetts and Maine, Rhode Island, vampire. Oh, those are vampires. Just kidding. I digress. Okay.
Not the same, Liz.
Put it back.
Keep your supernatural being separate.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. I thought we were professional.
No.
Nope.
Not me. I didn't sign anything.
Me either.
So do you want to give us a summary?
I do.
All right, hit it.
Sam and Dean investigate a series of witchcraft-related deaths in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, and believe that the neighborhood book club is actually a coven.
That makes sense.
I mean,
isn't your neighborhood book club a coven?
I know my book club's a coven. Ruby shows up and warns them about a powerful force that is controlling the witches. The force will likely target Sam, so Ruby advises him to leave town. The brothers ignore her pleas and head back to their motel. Dean confronts Sam about his lack of concern over killing people, so Sam explains that he is just trying to be more like Dean in order to prepare himself to fight alone in the upcoming demon war. Intense pain suddenly overcomes Dean, who is being attacked through magic. And Sam just leaves him there. Like, I know Sam's going to try to, you know, help him out, but he's just like, deuces, I'm going.
Can we also talk for a second about how Sam was just like, I'm trying to be more like you? It's not like Dean goes around killing people.
Right. Right. Yeah.
He's not killing people without second thought. He's killing what he deems as monsters, which are generally actually monsters.
Yeah.
Like, Sam, come on. Now you're just being cruel.
Sam is unable to fight. Oh, that's why he left. Sam is unable to. Forgot that part.
Sam is. Because they tear the place apart.
I know. Oh, the mattress? You have to pay for that, by the way. You have to pay for that mattress you ripped up.
There's definitely a deposit, and you're not getting it back.
So, unable to find the hex bag, a small bag of various ingredients that witches use to focus their magic onto the target, and instead decides to go after the witches with the Colt. Ruby arrives shortly after and is able to save Dean from the spell with a potion. Elsewhere, the three women deny targeting Dean and claim that they have only used witchcraft for personal gain. Sam realizes that Tammy, who has not benefited from the coven, is the demon Ruby warned him about. That girl proves to be incredibly powerful, effortlessly stopping a bullet from the Colt, incapacitating Sam, killing one of the witches, and revealing that there is a new demon leader who wants Sam dead. When Dean and Ruby show up, Tammy incapacitates Dean, it's a popular word, and reveals that Ruby was once human and a witch who sold her soul to Tammy centuries before. Ruby proves no match for Tammy, but a distraction by the last book club member, enables Dean to kill the demon with Ruby's knife. Later that night, Ruby admits to Dean that she cannot save him from his deal. She also confirms that all demons were once humans, but have their humanity stripped away in hell, a fate that Dean too will ultimately suffer. Unlike most demons, she still remembers what it was like to be human, which is why Ruby wants to help. Ruby requests Dean's help in preparing Sam for the future.
So Dean's going to be a demon. Foreshadowing.
A demon.
And we find out in this episode how Dean really feels about witches.
How does he feel about witches?
Oh, he hates them. He even says, I hate witches.
Oh, really?
He puts it down to them spewing bodily fluids everywhere, which I think is strange. And I don't think witches are really like, yeah, they mix some like blood and stuff and they spit. But like, I feel like the term bodily fluids is just a little much.
And they spit. But,
and according to Dean, it's also downright unsanitary.
Witches are unsanitary.
But strippers are okay.
I feel like strippers are worse.
That's and not for Dean. Not in Dean's world.
That's true. This episode had some gross stuff also to go with the bodily fluids. The teeth.
Yeah. The teeth. I like the fact that like the bodily fluid and everything kind of like weirds Dean out, but he feels like the worst for the bunny, the rabbit.
Yeah. But then there were maggots in the burger.
That's always grossing me out. Like the fact that like can you imagine taking a bite of a maggot? No, thank you.
I just puked in my mouth.
I just threw up a little bit. I also like the fact that like up until now, like Dean kind of had a feeling, but I feel like this episode was where he really realized what he was getting into.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't know the whole scope of what it meant to go to hell.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to save my brother and all this stuff. Yeah, I'll go to hell. It's fine. I got a year to live. I'll die. But in this one, he's just like, oh, shit.
Crap.
Like, this is real, and this is what can happen, and this is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, how unoriginal is it that a witch hexed the girl having an affair with Paul?
I thought, wasn't she the one? Wasn't
the
she
affair, the affairy?
Yes, because that was the affairy.
The affairy, Amanda. Yeah, she's the one that hexes Paul.
The other woman hexed him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
That was very unoriginal. I feel like that's what people expect witches to do, is to like hex people who do them wrong, and like one of the people who usually do them wrong are like people who have had affairs.
Yeah. I want to know how this demon witch lady just comes in and starts a book club and is like, we're just going to start doing some witchy shit. And everybody's like, cool.
You think she like starts with like some herbal remedies, and as soon as the women are like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love turmeric tea in the morning, and I love to sprinkle a little bit of like balsam in the mornings, and then I like to finish with like a quick swish of sage just to clear out the negative energy. And she's like, ooh, you're a witch, let's do this. Book club Tuesday night, bring your cauldron.
I'm sure that's exactly how it went down. She eased into it.
Yeah, like one of the girls is like, I do yoga every Sunday, you should totally come. They burn this amazing incense. It feels so light, and it feels like all the negative energy just disappears,
just washes away.
And then we recite this whole incantation, and it's the funniest thing.
Because, you know, it's not really doing anything. It's not hurting anybody.
But all I'm saying is that Jill was there one day, and then one day she and Tamara got into a fight, and now Jill no longer shows up. We don't know what happened to her.
She's not in book club anymore.
But I have this little lock of hair that I keep in a hex bag just for fun.
Don't mind my rabbit bones. It's fine.
Also, can you imagine being like a boyfriend and just finding that, being like, hey, babe, let me just, opens a drawer. It's just like a bunch of just like sachets and just animal bones, like a little vial of blood. And you're just like, wrong drawer. found the pen. Be right there.
And I wasn't supposed to look in there. Okay.
Because you got to have a backup. Like, you don't just make a hex bag. You're not just like, man, you're like, I got to go get a hex bag. And you like make a little satchel. And then you got to go get the stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure these witches have that shit on hand. They got a back stock.
Just in case.
Because there's no way like Sam and Dean rolled up and the girl was just like, this is a problem. Should probably go shopping.
It's like meal prep for a week ahead. You got to prep at least 10 hex bags at a time.
And you're like, no. I don't want the maggot hex bag. No, I want the sickly hex bag. Yeah, it's three. It's the purple one. Not the lavender. The purple.
Purple.
Whatever. Just give me the death.
It'll work the same.
And then you just like take a little plock of hair and you just toss it. And you're like, okay, we're good to go. Put that in the glove compartment. And call it a day.
I mean, you figure you got to use the whole rabbit at one time, you know, so might as well piece it out, you know, one sitting.
Yeah. And I guess like be prepared for anything, like get creative with your hexes. Don't be the same hex every time.
Just a witch and I'm just being prepared. Okay. I got potions. I got hex bags. I got amulets. What else do you want? I got
She's got her whole like, board.
Don't go in her medicine cabinet. My God.
She's got pictures of what she wants to do and steps of how she gets there with like little sayings. Her vision board. Her hex bag vision board.
Hey, to each their own, you know?
I mean, they're all striving to be on Tammy's level because obviously Tammy is a demon witch or a dewitch.
Not to be confused with bewitched. She's a dewitch.
Or a witum. Witton.
A wonton?
A wonton. She is a wonton. She's a little sweet, a lot of sour.
A lot of sour.
Can't keep her around for a long time, she'll go bad.
Oh wait, she already did.
Did you notice, like, it seems to be, I love the fact that it's this weird dynamic now, where obviously we've had Bella a couple of times, and we had fucking Meg. But Meg doesn't really count, but we see this weird dynamic with like Bella and the boys, and now we're seeing it with like Ruby and the boys, where they'll kind of get put into a bind, and like the girls kind of come in and out, like they're the weird third wheel.
Mm-hmm. Ladies save the day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that Dean met Ruby, right?
In person. Like really, really met Ruby, yeah.
Yeah. First time they chatted while he was dying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's a better time? I mean, she can really get her points across. He's not exactly going anywhere.
You have to listen to me or I won't give you this potion.
Hush. Yeah. Oh, man. Was there anything else in this episode?
Not, I don't think. We find out that I said that Ruby was a witch and her witch is alive.
And we found out that all demons were once human, which is weird. But it can't be all demons because some demons are fallen angels. But hell strips away their identity, especially in the pit.
Ugh, that just does not sound like a good time.
I wonder if Ruby was a witch in the time of the witch trials. How old is Ruby?
I don't know. She got to be like 300 years old.
Okay, so
I wonder if she knew Rowena.
Over 700 years old.
Oh, so I was just calling her a baby. She was just a witch babe to me.
And I looked it up and it says Ruby potentially lived indefinitely, could potentially live indefinitely. She was over 700 years old when she
did say the plague. She was around for the plague.
Yes. So
I remember that now. She looks good for 700.
She looks real good.
Mm-hmm. She always has good hair too, no matter what's happening.
I was gonna say, no matter if she's blonde or brunette.
No, blonde Ruby has the best hair.
I do appreciate though that blonde Ruby likes the side part.
Mm-hmm. She's got the little bang.
Brunette Ruby definitely goes down the middle. Like she's like Sam. Fuck it, I'm a new girl. I'm gonna change my hair up. She did the ultimate salon swap.
Brunette Ruby, we'll see her
soon. Mm-hmm. I just thought about this too because it was really early on and it just freaked me out. When Jeanette's teeth start falling out.
Yeah, that's so gross.
So gross. And I wonder if she felt it or if they were just like falling because she couldn't feel it.
Oh, I hope that there wasn't any tooth pulling pain.
Gross. Okay.
It's bad enough you're gagging on your blood from your teeth falling out. Gross.
I do appreciate that the boys went in the guise of the CDC for this episode, which they later use in season 15, I'm pretty sure.
When they're evacuating everybody? Yeah. It could have happened in the last episode. You'll never know.
Nope, I don't. I'm still not there yet. What? All right, so you got any tiddly bits?
Oh, I got a little bit, not a lot.
Just a little tiddly, not a lot of tiddly. I can't say it, not a lot. Oh, I'm a child.
I have a medium amount of tiddly, thank you very much.
A happy medium.
As I hold on to them. Okay. That would be tittly, not tiddly.
But okay. If you're telling about the episode, then it's a tattly bit.
Oh!
I'm funny.
I like it. So this episode starts with a series of cutting back and forth from the time Amanda is hexing Janet to when Janet is brushing her teeth. Evidently, Amanda's plan was successful. She managed to kill Janet. However, there was a simple mistake. Amanda hexed a blue toothbrush, but Janet brushed her teeth with a red toothbrush.
Continuity, where were you on that one? There's a difference between colors. You hoping we're all colorblind?
They're probably like, it's a fucking toothbrush. Who cares? Before it aired, this episode was initially titled Witch Hunt. It was also supposed to feature a demon framing a group of innocent women as witches to have them murdered. But this idea was dropped because it was too similar to the plot of previous season 3 episode Sin City.
Interesting. Hmm. Okay.
Paul Dutton was listening to frequency 101.1 FM on his car radio, which is a Vancouver radio station, and it was playing Poison by Butler native Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels. Love Poison. Love Poison. I mean, not actual Poison, but like,
I just realized I said that it was by Brett Michaels, and he's not, it's not by him. He's the lead singer of the band.
Did he write it?
I got so excited.
Did he write the song?
Yeah, but I said it like Poison was a song, and it's not. It's a band.
Yeah, nope, that's true.
I didn't want anybody, not that anybody yells at me for all the stuff I mess up, but I don't want anybody to yell at me for that. I know better. I do listen back and I hear stuff I said and I'm like, no, that's not accurate at all. But people roll with it, so let's go. Let's keep on going with the tiddly bits. The spell book that Amanda is seen reading contains passages from the Lord's Prayer in Irish Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
Sam introduces himself and Dean as agents Bachman and Turner, a nod to Bachman Turner Overdrive, who's saying, take care of business.
Damn it, damn it.
And you ain't seen nothing yet. Malleus Maleficarum, usually translated as the hammer of the witches in Latin, was the title of a 15th century treatise. How do you say that word? T-R-E-A-T-I-S-E.
Treatise
on witches. It was used to support and argue the nature of witchcraft. It proclaimed that women were mostly susceptible to the influence of evil and therefore more likely to become witches due to their weak moral character and insatiable sexual desires.
Yep. Can confirm.
Accurate.
Accurate.
The treatise proved popular and became the de facto handbook for the persecution and murder of women accused of witchcraft across Europe in the 15th and 16th centuries, despite the fact that the work was not officially sanctioned by the Catholic Church. The Church, in fact, refused to support it and said it was inaccurate. Thank you, Catholic Church. And I thought there was one bad review on IMDb about this episode.
What was it? What did they say? What did they say?
Let me read it to you. So this person named Drink the Poison 8, or excuse me, just Drink the Poison, gave this episode a 1 out of 10, and it said, the episode that kills my love of Supernatural.
What? Why?
Killed it. It killed her love of Supernatural. Drink the Poison says, you couldn't get more offensive if you made a list of misogynistic tropes and purposely tried to write them all. The actual Malleus Maleficarum is one of the most hateful anti-women screeds ever written and was used as a justification for the mass murder of actual women. This episode uses the title in fun as if it were somehow true. Imagine doing the same with a racist or anti-Semitic historical text! Exclamation point. In history, the Inquisitors were the real monsters. Here, Sam and Dean take the Inquisitor role without irony. What were the writers thinking? The women in this episode are portrayed as varying degrees of stupid, shallow, greedy, and evil. And just to rub it in, we get multiple uses of the word bitch, skank, and whore, most coming from the heroes' mouths. If you don't understand why this is not okay, please Google Feminism 101 and read.
Wow, okay. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, come on now.
I get it. I think you're taking it
real seriously and real literal there. Woo, boy.
It's a WB TV show at that time.
Yeah.
Or was it the CW now? I think we're in the CW now. It's a CW TV show for young adults. Calm down, Drink the Poison. This was also written in 2010, in case you were wondering.
I was, actually.
That's the last thing I had.
All right. Well, I'm going to ride your coattails.
Oh, I didn't realize I was wearing coattails, but jump on.
So I'm going to talk about the Malleus Maleficarum.
Aww.
Also known as the meow meow.
The meow meow.
Nope, read it. Okay. So the Malleus Maleficarum, or the Hammer of Witches.
The meow meow. It's the meow meow.
It's the meow meow. Or the Hexenhammer in German.
Oh, I like that too.
It was written in 1486 by Heinrich Kramer and later on Jacob Sprenger, and was published in Germany in 1487. Heinrich Kramer was born in 1430 and he lived until 1505. He joined the Dominican order, was then appointed the prior of the Dominican house of his hometown of Celestat Alce, or Alsace, A-L-S-A-C-E.
Sure.
He was appointed inquisitor for Tyrol, Salzburg, Moravia, and Bohemia around 1474, and became very close with the Archbishop of Salzburg. During this time, he wrote the papal bull Summis Desiderantis and was published in 1484 by Pope Innocent VIII. By publishing this, it actually acknowledged the existence of witches and told inquisitors to persecute them and prosecute them. And it makes an appearance later on in the Malleus Maleficarum. Now, Cromer was eventually expelled by Bishop of Brixen as an inquisitor for using fraudulent taxes for convicting witches.
Oh.
Shocking, I know.
Well.
So he was eventually kind of disowned and kind of poo-pooed.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Heinrich.
Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.
Now, even though they were close, Jacob Spronger was born in 1436, so he was 6 years younger. He ended up dying February 6, 1495. He's also known as James Spronger or Johann Spronger. And there's, in my research, I found two dates. So he was either born in 1436, which seems to be the most prominent, or 1438. In Feld in Austria. He was admitted to the Dominican house in 1452 and became a zealous reformer within the order. And he ended up founding the Association of the Confraternity of the Holy Rosary in Strasbourg in 1474. Now, he didn't write the Malus Maleficarum. However, he eventually did become a co-author because later on, all the editions after 1519 list him on there as a co-author. He later became a master of theology at the University of Cologne and then became dean of the faculty of theology in 1480. In 1481, he was appointed inquisitor of the provinces of Trier, Moritz, and Cologne. There was a huge falling out between Spranger and Cramer, especially when Cramer started to kind of get real batshit crazy. And Spranger was like, I don't think I want to go through with this.
I'm going to keep my distance.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like the president and the vice president.
I'm going to just be over here. But I still believe in witches.
Going that way.
So this was written to be a thorough guide to investigating and persecuting witches. It quickly became adopted by inquisitors and judges as the handbook during the witch trials. It claimed that witchcraft was the worst of all sins, and it actually gave four reasons for this. One being the devotion of body and soul to evil, because the witch would give themselves up to Satan. Number two being sexual relationships with incubi, deep in the heart of the forest.
What?
Three is the renunciation of the Christian faith, because obviously if they're in league with the devil, they're not doing the Lord's work. And four, being the sacrifice of unbaptized infants to Satan.
Oh.
So, because of these four things, witchcraft was the worst of all sins. So the Malus Maleficarum actually sold more copies than any other book at the time, except for the Bible.
I was going to say. So,
ironically, the Bible was still ahead. However, the Malus Maleficarum was right behind on the tails.
The coattails. Literally,
the coattails of the Bible. Literally until 1678, then it kind of lost popularity.
Oh.
A good like 200 years after being published.
I mean, it's been up there for a while now. We all know it by heart. We don't need to buy another copy.
So it draws its basis on the book of Exodus, on the quote, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." And as you had stated, is highly misogynistic, definitely accused mainly females of being witches, which is why there's still, I mean, during the witch trials, there wasn't only women tried as witches, but there was a majority of them in comparison to the men that were tried for witches.
I mean, we're just so weak and
sexually riveted that we just have to sacrifice unbaptized children and have sex with incubi deep in the heart forest of the woods while we let a devil suckle on our witch's teeth. Should I have put an NC-17 warning there? PG-13. Well, here we are. Okay.
Oh, God.
And we continue.
Why do you have to go into the woods
Because you don't let the devil suckle on your teeth in the kitchen. You're not sacrificing babies in the kitchen. You gotta go to the woods for that. Like, you gotta send your familiar first to check if everything's cool.
So this can't happen in your house at all.
No.
You can't even have it in a different room. You have to go, it's like I'm embarrassed.
So no, you want plausible deniability for your family.
Oh my goodness.
So the Malus Maleficarum is actually divided into three parts. The first being the belief about witches and their practices, as well as the biblical and theological basis of witchcraft and how they go against God. The second part tells of how witches cause harm and how it could be prevented. Much of the evidence in this part of the Maleficarum comes from the inquisitions actually conducted by Cramer. And the third part is the legal aspects of trying and convicting witches. This includes rules for questioning suspects, taking testimony, and torture to get confession. It also states that judges can lie to the accused and promise immunity in order to get a confession.
So they're just detectives.
Yeah, they're pretty much just like, hey, so do whatever you need to. Yeah. If you think it's a witch, just go. Just kill them, torture them. Lie. I don't care. Everything else is kosher by the Lord, because witchcraft is the worst. There have actually been in a very short time, 28 editions of the Malleus Maleficarum published between 1486 and 1600.
Were they like, oh shit, I forgot to add that. New edition.
Like, oh crap, I forgot about that one.
New edition.
Damn it. I knew there was something.
Just trying to cover our asses.
And just for fun, I did find a couple of good quotes.
I love when you do this. Every time you say something like that, I just think back to the asylum episode where you're just telling me all the shit that you sent to an asylum in the 1800s. Holy crap.
So as this is like a misogynistic piece, it does blame male demons for generating witches.
See, it's their fault, not ours. Stupid males.
They, witches.
They from now on will be
this
witches.
Is the quote. Clearly derived their origin from a baneful mutual alliance. The arrangement will therefore be the following. The succubus demon releases a seed from a criminal man. If the demon is assigned personally to this man and does not wish to make himself the incubus for the female witch, he will hand the seed over to the demon assigned to the woman or female witch, and the second will make himself an incubus for the female witch under a certain configuration that serves his purpose for the purpose of performing acts of witchcraft.
I feel like I need a diagram for what you just said. There's a seed, and then it goes here, but if it doesn't, it goes here.
Here are some other really good quotes by our man Heinrich Kramer of the Malleus Maleficarum. But devils are subservient to certain influences of the stars because magicians observe the course of certain stars in order to evoke the devils. But the devils cannot interfere with the stars. That one's in German, not trying it.
Can't read that?
You don't want me to.
Google Translate that shit.
Quote, Malleus Maleficarum. You're welcome. I know you were.
That was lovely.
Yeah. God punishes by means of bad angels, as he often punished the people of Israel with various diseases truly and actually visited upon their bodies. Therefore, the member is equally subject to such visitations. And the best, quote, blessed is the man who has a virtuous wife.
Oh, well, so blessed.
All the blessed men with the virtuous wives.
They didn't say the men were virtuous. Just the wife.
Just the wife. As long as she didn't sell her body and, you know, sacrifice a baby.
She wasn't out in the woods with the incubus and the devil in her teat.
Yeah, in the woods. After sending her familiar there. Also, in case you were curious, according to the Malleus Maleficarum, there are three kinds of suspicions for witchcraft.
Oh, only there is, three?
Mm-hmm. There is a light suspicion. A serious suspicion.
Ooh.
And are you ready?
Ready.
A grave suspicion.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Yep. That witch is gonna get thrown into a lake. See if she floats.
A grave suspicion. 28 editions and there's only three.
Yeah, three suspicions. Okay. And one of the most popular quotes from it is, it is a most certain and most Catholic opinion that there are sorcerers and witches who, by the help of the devil, on account of a compact which they've entered into with him, are able, since God allows this, because now they're saying that the Lord allows this, to produce real and actual evils and harms, which does not render it unlikely that they can also bring about visionary and fantastical illusions by some extraordinary and peculiar means. So in that quote, they're basically saying witches are real. They make a pact with the devil. The Lord allows it, but it's up to us to find them. And they not only can cause harm and evil to people, but they can also cause illusions and disillusions to people, which is what makes them the most dangerous.
Oh.
But that's okay. All I got on the Malleus Maleficarum.
So if God says it's cool, why does everybody got to go after them?
I mean, I don't think he says it's cool. I think he's just like,
I mean, he lets it, he turns a blind eye and like, he lets it happen.
I think he, in his mind, like in their minds, the Lord allows it because it's up to the Inquisitors to do God's work.
Oh.
And that's what they're put on this earth to do, which is why a lot of judges during witch trials were never, especially in like France and Germany that were using this book, a lot of Europe, were having it as their handbook, being like, okay, well, since they won't tell us, this page over here says that we can torture them. So that sounds like a good plan.
It says it right here.
It's allowed. Torture. It has a check mark next to it. It's starred.
Like a to-do list?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did that. It didn't work. Check.
I asked him if he's a witch. He said no. Check. Okay. What if I give you immunity? Yeah, that's still a no. Okay. So, guys, all we have left is torture?
It's like one of those flow charts. Yes or no. And it'll take you to the to another thing in the opposite direction.
It was denounced by the church and everybody else because like it was a theological thing, and a lot of people tried to make it a Christian thing, and they were like, no, we don't stand for torturing people like that.
That's not our jam.
And obviously because Cromer was cut down at the knees and kicked out, they were like, yeah, let's not use his stuff. Okay.
We're gonna be over here doing our own thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I got on Maleficarum.
Maleficarum.
On the Malleus Maleficarum. I hope somebody uses that in a, like an, what is it, ASMR? Just on repeat. I hope that soothes your ear pits.
Ear pits?
Ear pits. Ear pits.
Oh, your ear pits.
Yeah, your ear pits.
I hope that becomes a TikTok.
All right, so next episode we got for you. Like we said, we're going to have the date for the Hunter Happy Hour, the cocktail and the video posted. And we hope to see you guys there.
It'll be fun.
And the next episode we have is season 3, episode 10, Dream a Little Dream of Me.
Aww. Aww.
And who's in this episode, miss?
I don't know.
Bobby!
Oh, yes! Okay, for a second I was like, I don't remember what that one is, but then I already put the plot down. I remember, because you know where they are, or where Bobby is anyway.
He's in a dream!
But do you know where his hospital is?
No.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania!
Oh man, I feel like I should have known that. Damn it.
I already gave a tiddly bit away.
That's fine. Tie it back to the tiddly bit you give next episode.
I'm excited to see Bobby again.
It's been a while. It'll be nice to see him. Not in this way, but it's nice to see him.
Yeah.
And like then we got the mystery spot.
Valentine's Day mystery spot.
It's right
spot.
Around the corner. Valentine's Day. Listen to new music.
What?
Yeah, because in that one, he listens to the same music.
Yeah. But no, listen to our new episode.
Yeah, listen to our new episode. Or we'll listen to out. That's the only thing that's cool to like play on repeat every Tuesday.
Yeah, do it.
Meow. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to us. Continue to share us, like us, send us some DMs, any ideas, anything you want to communicate, because we love you and want to hear from you guys. Any questions you might have, anything that you can potentially think of, reactions to the episodes, because if you send us a reaction, we're going to read it on here.
Or if you send us a voicemail, we can play it on here.
There's so many options.
I want someone to do it. Someone.
So many room for activities.
Break the voicemail cherry here so we can put you on.
Somebody do it.
Just do it.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to us.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.